Joshua chapter 2. The question tonight is, why Rehab? When you hear the name Rehab, for most people, what comes to your mind? What's the next two words? Rahab,
the harlot.
The harlot. Not Rahab, the great Christian of faith, as is stated in Hebrews.
Right.
That's not how we remember her. When you hear the name David and who do you think of next? It's going to be either Goliath or Bathsheba. Most people go to Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba. The reason is because that's how our minds work, our flesh. We remember the bad a lot easier than we remember the good. Right?
Yeah.
If somebody makes a bad decision, we tend to not let them ever live it down. Right?
Right.
So it makes us wonder why God chose to send the two spies from Israel to Jericho straight to Rahab's house. So in Joshua chapter 2, we're going to read the first 11 verses. Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass, about the time of shutting the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for bringing us here to this passage tonight. And Lord, I know that in your sovereignty, you have a purpose for it. I don't know what your people are dealing with tonight. Lord, I don't know what even that I need. So Lord, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would speak through me tonight your message. Lord, help us to learn what we need from your word and to put it into action. I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Rahab was clearly a harlot, but she became a believer. I think that when you read verse 11, that's evident. So the big question that runs through our minds, maybe not yours, but mine at least, did she stop being a harlot? Of course, the Bible doesn't say. I'd like to think that she did. We can only speculate. What we do know is that we all still sin after we get saved. Our hearts change. We don't want to sin. We don't like that. We don't crave the same things.
Right.
And the reason is because of what 1 Corinthians 5:17 says. We are a new creature.
Right.
Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
But as Paul clearly writes in Romans, we still have to battle the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We still sin. Thankfully, we have 1 John 1:9.
Yes, thank you.
When we sin, we go to God humbly. We ask Him to forgive us. We confess our sin, and He forgives us.
Thank you.
And I'm thankful for that.
Yes.
Without that, we would have no relationship.
Right.
Or I should say, no fellowship with Christ.
Mm.
Because sin separates. And every time we sin, there's a gap. There's a distance. And we feel it. We know it. It's
right.
There.
Right.
It's cold. It's uncomfortable to go to our Bible. It's uncomfortable to pray. Because there's a gap. There's a distance there. But thankfully, we can go to God and say, God, I've sinned.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Lord.
Please forgive me. Help me. Guide me away from that. Help me to crucify my flesh. Help me not to do that again. But then we go right back to the same question. Why did God send the two spies to a harlot's house? Why didn't He send them to a godly widow that feared God and served Him? Would have been a better story, right? God chose to send the two spies to a godly widow's house so He could save her and her family from destruction. So always serve God and He'll protect you. But that wasn't God's plan. Why did He choose Rahab? I want you to turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 1, the Bible says this. This is a genealogy, so I may mess up a name or two. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahson, and Nahson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. That's Rahab.
Yeah.
And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David, the king. David, the king, begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam. And Rehoboam begat Abia. And Abia begat Asa. And if you continue reading, what you're going to find in not only this genealogy, but almost every genealogy that you read throughout Scripture, is they only mention the men. Most of the time.
Right.
Here in this one, in God's sovereignty, He decided to mention four women. Rahab was a harlot. He's talking about the lineage of Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
Rahab was a harlot. Ruth was a Moabite.
Mm-hmm.
Tamar was Judah's daughter. Bathsheba was another man's wife before she was David's wife.
Mm.
None of these women started out as a godly lady. They all had some dirt on them. Rahab wound up in the hall of faith in Hebrews. Ruth became a godly lady of character. Not real sure what happened to Tamar, the Bible doesn't say. Bathsheba didn't really show any real fruit of being a strong believer. Yet, all four of these women were in the lineage of Jesus Christ. There were lots of other women in his lineage, but only four of them had their names mentioned. Why? I believe that God wants us to know that it doesn't matter what you've done wrong or how many times you've done it. But His forgiveness is always available.
Thank you, Lord.
When we recognize our sin, confess it, forsake it, and call out to Him for forgiveness. We're never too bad to where that God turns His head and says, I'm not going to forgive you anymore. I'm just tired of it. That never comes. God doesn't want us to live in guilt.
Amen.
Jesus came so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And by the way, that's talking about now.
Yes, that's right.
It's not talking about in eternity. We all know that in heaven there's no sin, no pain, no crying, no suffering. Everything is perfect all the time. So we're not talking about heaven there. I don't believe Jesus was describing the abundant life of heaven. He's describing the abundant life here on earth. But we can't have that when we live in guilt. We are commanded to be perfect. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. And we should strive for that. Not in and of ourselves. Brother Tommy hit on that this morning in Sunday school. We can't do it in and of ourselves. If we try to do it in and of ourselves, that's when we're going to live in guilt and frustration and failure, because we can't. But when we die to self, when we crucify the flesh, that opens the door for the Holy Spirit to then do what only He can, and that is give us victory and give us that abundant life. Without the opportunity to go to God, as it says in 1 John 1:9, and ask for forgiveness, we would live defeated. But we all mess up. Just like Rahab.
Yes, sir.
Many other people. But God's forgiveness is always available. All we have to do is go to Him in humility and say, God, I have messed up again. I have sinned. I think it's important that we call it sin.
Yeah.
Not a failure. Not a bad habit. That's just who I am. But sin. Until we call it sin, we can blame it on something else other than ourselves.
That's right.
But when we call it sin, then we have to deal with it like God prescribed. And that is to go to Him, ask Him for forgiveness, confess our sin, and He will forgive us.
Yes, sir.
Then that gap between us and Him closes, and we have sweet fellowship once again.
Thank you, Lord.
Then it's more enjoyable to go to our Bible, to go to our knees and pray.
That's right.
There's nothing between us anymore. So I don't know what it is in your life that has caused a gap. But that gap can be closed tonight.
Amen.
Why rehab? Rahab. Because God, I believe, because God wants us to see that His forgiveness is never ending.
Amen.
We can mess up. And even the lineage of Jesus Christ came through a harlot. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your forgiveness. Lord, I need it. And I need it regularly. Father, I pray that You would open my eyes to my sin. It's so easy for me to become blinded to it. And I pray that You would help me to see it, recognize it for what it is, and to come before You in humility, confess it, and forsake it, and ask for forgiveness. Lord, help us to draw close to You,
please.
I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn 489. 489.